The title of this morning's address is An Attitude of Gratitude. This is the traditional time of the year to hold Harvest Thanksgiving services. Harvest Thanksgiving was developed in a rural parish during Victorian times. So the idea to decorate the church with harvest produce as a visible sign of gratitude that the harvest is safely gathered spread like wildfire. People who care for the land, who produce our food, are acutely aware of the many elements that must come together to ensure the harvest. When that service was devised, the majority of the population would have grown at least some of their own food. And before the establishment of welfare state, a bad harvest meant that people endured a level of food poverty, some level of food poverty, and many people would have experienced actual hunger. So Harvest Thanksgiving really resonated with them. But urban dwellers have lost the emotional connection with the land. We no longer live in the rhythms of nature. If our potato harvest fails, we'll just import them from another part of the world. Our diet no longer depends on seasons. We eat strawberries at Christmas time. We will decorate our homes with roses grown in Africa. This disconnection from how our food is produced has knock-on effects. Firstly, we take food for granted. We expect that the supermarket shelves will always have their supplies. When we take things for granted, we lose appreciation and gratitude. As I say that, I'm just thinking about the beginning of the pandemic. People went out to the shops. Remember when lockdown was announced? There was plenty of food. What we stocked up on was toilet paper, not food. We always thought the food would be there. Happiness is the goal of all our activities. Everything we do, all our actions have the ultimate aim to make us happy. But happiness is elusive. There are times when we have everything we need. We still feel slightly uneasy, not quite happy. And we tell ourselves we should be happy, but we sense that something is missing. What we have to remember is that happiness comes as the consequence of other things. Henry David Thoreau, a great Unitarian, said, "Happiness is like trying to catch a butterfly. If you follow the butterfly, it just moves further and further away. If you concentrate on the things around you, the chances are that the butterfly will alight beside you." Like the butterfly, happiness comes to us indirectly because of other things. Studies actually show that the most assured way to increase your happiness is to have an attitude of gratitude. If your personality is not naturally inclined towards gratitude, it's very easy to cultivate one. Cultivating gratitude is as simple as just taking a few minutes to concentrate on things for which you are grateful and which you would say thank you for. And it's much easier and more effective if you actually take the time just to sit down and write out things for which you were grateful. Increasing happiness is that simple. Happy people are not always grateful. Now, you could be happy because you've won the lotto. You mightn't be very grateful. But people who are grateful are always happy. People who are grateful are always happy. It's impossible to feel grateful and unhappy at the same time. You just can't do it. If you're counting your blessings, you're not miserable. And we have so much for which to be grateful. We have the gift of life with its challenges and its sorrows, but our lives are so much more cushioned than the majority of the world's population. We live in a peaceful country. It's politically stable. It's a safe place to live. We have shelter, food, clean water, a benign climate, food security, a health system, an education system. And yes, we can pick holes and talk about the things that are wrong, but there is so much that we have right. All reasons to be grateful. The people we love and who love us are another reason to be grateful. I think the pandemic has highlighted our interdependence, how we need one another. And remember that a few words of appreciation and gratitude will always lift spirits and incline people to being more helpful and kind in return. Nothing like doing a good deed for someone and it's ignored. It merely leaves a sour taste. When we were children, we were taught to show our gratitude by saying thank you. Probably most parents used to think, what's the magic words? We adults must go beyond merely parroting words of thank you. An insincere thank you is simply hurtful. And when it comes to being grateful for the world of nature, sincere gratitude must be backed up by our behavior. No point in admiring nature with all sincerity. Now is the time. We have to change the behavior. Our gratitude be heartfelt enough that it makes us care for the world of nature, because nature nourishes the body and restores the soul. But global warming and the extinction of species indicates that when it comes to being grateful for nature, our words of thanks are more mechanical than real. We're heading into a new talk about global warming, and this week it was leaked, papers revealed that every government is lobbying to have their interest excused. The people who produce oil think, oh, let's keep the oil going just for another while. The people who produce coal are saying, oh, let's not dispose with using coal any longer. Let's wait for another while for that. Our government is looking for a little extension on our farming methods. For some people, being grateful raises the question, of course, who do you thank? You know, if you're talking about nature, who do you give thanks to? And of course, we can say a sincere thank you to God. But if you don't believe in God, you still say the thank you. No excuses. A sincere gratitude is all you need to nature to just say thank you. Throughout history, there have been many times of famine. Ireland is not unique when it experienced famines. But there's something about the great famine of the mid-1800s that left its mark on us as a people. We are exceptional givers to famine relief. At the beginning of COVID-19, the Navajo tribe in North America set up a relief fund for its people. And the bulk of the money raised was donated from Irish people. And they were wondering, why are all these Irish people sending us money? Because Irish people remembered that the Native Americans sent us money during that famine. Irish people have empathy for people who are hungry. We donate money for relief. But donating money is important, it is important, but that's only a temporary sticking plaster. It doesn't address the causes of many of the current famines, many of which are as the result of climate change. We can give the money, but we do need to look at long-term solutions. At the end of the Second World War, Europe suffered food scarcities. It was really, really a difficult time for Europe. So one of the founding aims of the European Union, it was to ensure a supply of cheap food. But remember, there is no such thing as cheap food. Food that costs little money at the cash desk is either subsidized by governments are produced at a high cost to nature. The loss of biodiversity is a pointer to the cost nature is paying for our wish for cheap food. And having a good supply of cheap food makes us devalue it. When you think about our relationship with food, it is strange. It's a little bit warped. The latest estimates are that we waste a third of the food that we buy. We want cheap food. We buy lots of it, and we throw one third out. If food was a little bit more expensive, we would put greater value on it. In the developed world, for the first time in history, excess weight is now a threat to public health. We still want cheap food. We spent money, the money saved on food, at Weight Watchers, Slimming World, and the gym club. One of the most lucrative parts of food retail is oven-ready meals. And that's understandable. Many people live busy lives. And being able to pop dinner into the oven is very useful. And we all do it and enjoy it. But how often do we pop the meal into the oven so that we have time to watch programs like Bake Off, MasterChef, or some other culinary program? There's one about cakes, the Bill cakes, 6 foot high, and bridges and everything like that. Chefs enjoy celebrity status. They're television stars now. Why are we so obsessed with food and cooking and food preparation? Could it be that we are using food in an attempt to nourish our neglected souls? Is it time to slow down and reflect? We are blessed with good fortune. Gratitude for this good fortune should be a constant in our life. Being grateful is not just the correct response for our blessings. An attitude of gratitude will make us happy. But our gratitude must not be empty words. It must be followed by right actions. We must care for the source of so many of our blessings. We must not devalue nature. We must not destroy it for people who will come after us. Our children are really going to pay the price for our dependence on low-cost food. Meister Eckhart said, if the only prayer we ever say thank you, it is enough. But the thank you must, of course, be completely sincere and followed by right actions. Amen.